And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 27th, 2026. It is Season 20, Episode 20, and I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And we're going to smack this real quick.
Good job.
I mean, went to school for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Years. If you want to, you know, there's a whole thing about if you want to get in touch with us, there's the Discord, there is ingamechat.net for all the links to do all of this stuff with. We're on Twitter, we're on In-Game Chat, we're on Facebook, Blue Sky, we're on Twitch right now. Head over to twitch.tv, search for In-Game Chat, you'll be able to find us. But again, if you just go to our website, ingamechat.net, scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll find all the links to get in touch with us. I'm kind of speeding through this for a little bit. Excuse me. Took a drink of water before we went on, and apparently I'm just going to burp through the way. I'm kind of speeding through this a little bit because there is so much to get to. One of the busiest weeks of gaming news. Well, one of the worst weeks of gaming news.
Yeah, I was about to say, looking at the list, it's like you got a whole bunch of stuff, and it's like 80 to 90% bad.
I mean, I am, as much as I talked about, the E3 thing where it's like, hey, let's just pile on a ton of games for them in the matter of a few days. The same applies here. Let's pile on a ton of horrible news in the span of a week. Let's not stretch it out, you know, let's not give this one thing its own week to simmer and cook and whatever. Let's just throw it all into a pile, which is seemingly what has happened here. And so we're going to get into that. Real quick before we do, no show next weekend. It is the 4th of July next weekend. And of course, we don't. And it's actually the 4th of July on that Saturday.
It literally falls on it, yeah.
Yeah. And so no show for next Saturday. That is item number one. Item number two. We reached our goal for what we were trying to do the past 2 weeks. And so I am very thrilled about that, and I'm very happy about that, and I'm very thankful and appreciative for everybody who, and we got another thing the other day, just yesterday. So thank you, everyone, for helping out with that and contributing. We do appreciate it. Really, not even going to get into what we played. I know that for me it wasn't much. A couple of demos from the Stettin Next Fest, but and if there's anything highlighted that you want to hit, because normally we do this, but there's just so much to get into. I just figured we'd jump right in.
Just after I finished RoboCop Rogue City, I haven't got a chance to get the standalone DLC yet, so it's pretty much standard fare for me as well.
Yeah. So there we go. Jeez, I guess, do we start at the top and just work our way down, I suppose? Or do I hit the miscellaneous first?
Yep,
tell you what, we'll get the miscellaneous at the end of the show. Let's just start up first is the Steam Machine. Out of nowhere, and Valve is known to do this, but out of nowhere, Valve says, hey, Steam Machine's going to go on sale, or whatever. You can pre-order your Steam Machines get in line to wait and buy them. Yes, we're going to release them. Here's what they cost. Here's the different tiers of what you can order, and here you go. So what this did was sort of open the door to pricing of, and it's not a console, it is a PC, but opened the door to how you can price something now that has whatever, how much RAM is in it and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it is exactly what we expected it to be, which was a four-figure thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's four figures at the base, right?
The lowest price. Yeah.
Yeah, I think. I have so many different news articles covering the Steam Machine situation. So, yeah. Base model, 512 gigabyte model base is $1,050.
Yeah.
The base model with a Steam controller is $1,130. The 2 terabyte terabit model is $1,350.
Yeah.
And if you want a controller with that, it's $1,430. So there you go.
Slight rounding here and there, folks, but it is still high, four figures.
Yeah.
No matter what level you get into.
Yeah. It says other than the storage size, both models have identical specs, though the 2 terabyte model will also include 2 extra face plates, red fabric and solid walnut. That's fine. I was curious because I didn't really read into, once you see those prices, read into much of it. I didn't really read into much if there was a difference other than hard drive space. Is there a difference in processing power, graphic processor, something like that with the higher models? And there is not. So this is the same thing. It's just different hard drive space. 512 gigs for a PC machine is not sufficient.
No, it's not.
Now, Steam, Valve, is very open to, you know, you buy our product, you do what you want with it type of thing. You know what I'm saying? It's yours. If you want to do this, we allow you to do that. Not necessarily that you'd void warranty. You probably do. But they're pretty open to you modifying your own, the things that you purchase.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read, and maybe it exists, but I haven't read because, you know, what I did with my Steam Deck was I bought the lower memory model, 64 gigs, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, just low, horrible.
Yeah.
And popped it open and put in my own hard drive, you know, bigger size hard drive that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. With this, I am not sure. Could you buy, and let's get into this for a second.
Yeah.
There's a lot that you're buying here. The reason that price is, we'll take the 1049 price, which is your basic bare model. A lot of that, I say a lot of that, but I would say not more than half, but close to half, is likely the RAM pricing in that thing, is how much the RAM costs in it. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a proprietary, a special deal that they have with, I think it's with AMD, which, you know, that's the graphics processor, and it's not this is not something that you could go out and buy off the shelf. It's something that was made specifically for this box, for Valve to put in this machine. But I want to say it was Gamers Nexus that did a video on it and said, here's how you can make the exact same thing. Form factor notwithstanding, this thing is a very small piece of tech. It is meant to sit in your living room, on your main TV. It is as though you have bought a console. They swear up and down that it's not a console, but I mean it's a PC wrapped in console clothing. So it can sit on your shelf with your other equipment within your home main viewing room, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Plugged into your TV with a controller that is Bluetooth in, and you can operate everything with the controller. You don't have to sit there and type anything in if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, it's kind of unlike a PC because it doesn't, you know, it's not a keyboard mouse type thing.
Nothing interface with it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could. I really haven't, obviously nobody owns these things just yet. There's been reviews and stuff, and I honestly haven't watched a single review of these things. I've read some, but I haven't watched any of these video reviews. Obviously, again, looking at the price, it's like, oh, this is... and then reading forum comments, it's like, oh, gosh. A lot of people not necessarily weren't expecting that, but aren't necessarily too surprised by it.
Yeah.
They're also like, I'm not getting one, but I'm also not surprised at that price. And then some people are like, what do they expect? You know, why do they expect so much money? And it's as though they haven't been following along lately with the situation at hand with our memory prices, which is caused by AI, by the way. Steam Machine, this is coming from videogameschronicle.com. The pre-orders for this are going to go into a randomized queue. Users are going to be able to register their interest for any of the Steam Machine models from now until June 25th, at which point all pre-orders will be randomized and placed into a queue. Valve says it hopes this method won't reward bots and will assure everyone has a fair chance to order one without having to schedule their life around that moment. You'll still be able to pre-order a Steam Machine after the June 25th window closes, but at that point, your order will simply be added to the end of the queue. Valve has confirmed that the price is higher than it had originally planned, with the ongoing surge in component cost affecting matters. Steam Machine, like our other hardware products, is made up of many components that we source from manufacturers around the world. The price at which we sell our hardware is a direct result of the cost of these components. We felt like we had a good understanding of how those costs might change over time when we first started sourcing them for the Steam Machine back in 2023. If it had come out in 2023, you'd be seeing a lot cheaper price. That understanding was born from the many years of data that we all have about the evolution of PC hardware prices, primarily that it tends to get cheaper over time as new technology arrives. Oh, but it didn't. Over the past year or so, that has changed quickly and significantly, most visibly for RAM and storage components. There are a variety of reasons, all of which are affecting hardware products everywhere. The overall effect is that our original goal for the price of the Steam Machine is no longer viable. As I have read in other articles and stuff, the original price, which I don't think they give you an original price. I think they say it would have been around like Steam Deck prices is what they kind of go after there, or high-end, some type of equivalent. And you know, enough people made the connection that it would have cost around between $700 and $800. $700 to $750, maybe $800, depending on, you know, the different sizes that you would go with as far as a hard drive is concerned. Seeing a price that is now $1,050 to start with, compared to $700, you're like, hey, $700, not bad, considering what it is now. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you're really into this, if you're like, you know, that's too high, I think I'll hold off. We've said this before, and it will be referenced again later in the show when we talk about some other stuff. This is a low price compared to what it'll be later on. Compared to what they'll have to do once they have to resupply. Just like with the Steam Deck. Price went up when they had to do their resupply. Once they sold through what they had already allotted, what they had already built, what they already had ready to go, once they had sold through that and had to produce more, they had to start getting components that are now priced above what they originally paid. Mm-hmm. And those prices went up. When these sell through, and I know it's hard to think, but they will, enough people will jump onto this. And it's very strange because there's got to be a ceiling, right?
You would think. Yeah. You would think about the, understand, like the article said about the anti-bot sales and things like that. But that would also help if the demand was high. And with a price like this, you wouldn't think the demand would be high.
I don't know. Yeah, I
but
don't know
like
if
you
it
said,
is.
But like we said before, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
So if you had any interest in this, you better buy it now. Because later on down the line, it's going to get higher.
Exactly, and that's what we're going to see here in the situation with the Steam Machine. It says, so if the prices we're sharing today reflect the state of the world for manufacturing, or more accurately, it reflects the price of components as we've secured them over the past 6 months. Price wasn't the only thing impacted by all of this. Availability was as well. There were, and I'm quoting Valve on this, There were periods where we found we couldn't source some of our components at all at any price. More than anything else, this has impacted the number of units we've been able to produce for launch. This is bad, too. Some of these they couldn't get, which means the amount they were able to produce at this current price is less than what they were hoping for. Which means this stuff will sell through quickly. Even if you get onto a list at in the back of the queue, if they run out before they get to your name and have to produce more, you will be paying whatever that price increase is going to be. You're not necessarily locking in your price until you've actually put in a pre-order. Putting in a reservation to pre-order does not count as a pre-order. So you will be having, you know, and that's the thing. Even if you put in a reservation to pre-order, they come back and say, hey, it's your time to pre-order. By the way, this is now what it's going to cost you because we have sold through our stock and we have to rebuild more. So the price is going to go up. Here's what it is. You can then, you know, confirm or, you know, back
pass
out.
On, pass on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you're not on the hook. So it's possible that you could still get these at these prices, mm-hmm. but yeah. it is only going to get worse.
Yeah, Brian made a suggestion in the chat when he talked about a good laptop. Bet a good laptop can do just as much as the.
I just got an Alienware laptop for $850. I bet it can do everything the Steam Machine can. And more. I have no idea what the specs on your laptop are, but it's an Alienware, so you're probably okay in that regard. Lethal Migrant says, let's be real, Valve and Microsoft are run by imbeciles. Intelligent business people would have opened their own tabs to create these parts a couple of decades ago. A couple of decades ago, I didn't see this as being a problem. A couple of decades ago, I didn't realize that the hobby of building a PC was going to be massively affected by AI prices. A couple of decades ago, I didn't even consider AI as a thing.
That's right.
Not a lot of people did. I'm not saying that you're... Fabs. I'm not saying that you're wrong in that regard. You would think... that companies like that would kind of produce their own stuff, but they never really had to consider doing that. You know, for decades and years or ever how long it's been, Nintendo honestly would be the ones that I would think would do that because they are so proprietary about their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That you would think like, no, you guys, those RAM prices are too high. We're just going to make our own. We'll just do our own. Yeah. You would think Nintendo might. But he says, at least Microsoft, when they got into consoles, they should have made their own parts instead of relying on, I don't know what goes into that. I'm just saying that it's been done this way since consoles began, mm-hmm. where they outsourced their parts and their everything else to whoever they were getting in bed with, whether it be AMD or Intel for the graphics processor, for the CPUs, that sort of thing. Because, and you're right, I mean, I totally get it. I get it that making your own would have been the cheaper option. And they've got their reasons as to why they didn't. Because they form these partnerships where, hey, if we buy in bulk, we get this kind of a discount, or you're only going to make this for us and not for anybody else type of thing, and we're going to pay you this much money to do it. Again, you go back decades, as you said, and you don't even have to go back decades, but you go back a ways. Microsoft was buying left and right companies. I mean, they had money. They had the money bags, the trucks full of money that they could pull up to anybody and say, we want this processor, we want this we want this GPU or this form factor or whatever. They just pull it up to a truck and say, here's money truck, give us your stuff. Make this for us. Do you need another truck of money? We'll bring that in. They just had it. They don't now. And according to a lot of things, nobody does. Maybe Nintendo. But Nintendo's not looking to do anything like that. But their prices will go up. Price on everything is just going to go up. Anyway, back to the Steam Machine situation. Sort of release date, console like PC might be costing more, launches next week, price will be as painful as we expected. Steam Machine review. An utterly lovable, probably too niche, definitely too expensive gaming curio. That is the headline from Eurogamer.
Basically saying it ain't worth it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it's not cheap. And this is where the what is a Steam Machine question comes into the fore. A PC games in your living room machine is one answer and does immediately raise some more questions of its own. An example, should you spend the aforementioned huge wad of cash on the Steam Machine as opposed to investing in such classics as big HDMI cable? Or even would making a more modernized Steam Link have been a better venture for Valve? Alternatively, there's the idea that the Steam Machine could make a very nice entry point into PC gaming, competing price-wise with budget gaming PC builds. You could build a decent rig based on NVIDIA's entry-level RTX 5050 for a similar cost, but then that entry-level PC would get a decent bit more performance. Yeah, that's what Gamers Nexus was saying. Like, we've looked at these specs, and we figured out that we can make something very similar to it, not necessarily in form factor. Again, I think part of the reason that you're paying the money you're paying, yes, is the RAM. It is the component aspect of it. It's also you're paying for a form factor. You're paying for that really small cube to sit next to, you know, your, I don't know what sits next to people's TVs anymore. Look, consoles. Look,
something that fits in a small entertainment center for your TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
I was going to say next to your cable box, but do people even have cable? A lot of TV comes in over the internet now.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's supposed to sit there in the living room and blend in with all your other stuff. And not be some, you know, picture of my PC that's all lit up and bright and doing all that stuff. No.
Something a little more subtle.
Right. You're paying for form factor. You're paying for the component parts of it as well. You're paying for the fact that it is a pre-built Valve type thing. Mm-hmm. But when a lot of the review sites were like, all right, let's look at this and see what the equivalent of what we've got here is. Because, again, you can't necessarily buy all this stuff off the shelf just as it is inside the machine. These were produced specifically for the machine itself. Anyway, when you do that, you come up with something that is better than what the Steam Machine is, from what I've read. I don't know by how much, moderately increased better type thing. It's not something that blows it out of the water, but it's also doesn't underperform that. It performs a little better.
Yeah, it's basically seeing how close you can get to the original for the price that you pay for it.
Right. So, but they found that the price can go cheaper.
Yeah.
You can get better performance, or at least moderately better performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to look the exact same as this nice little cube thing.
But don't care about that.
And why would you?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I understand. People buy form all the time, man.
Mm-hmm.
People buy something because of the
aesthetic,
manufacturer, the way it looks, that sort of thing. I totally understand that.
Yeah, if your primary desire is function over pretty it looks, then why would you
form
go
over
this
function,
route?
Function over form, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
exactly. There's the other option of what the Steam Machine, this is again from the Eurogamer review, Valve's attempt at a console. It definitely isn't that, at least according to Valve, as its hardware architects made a point of explaining to us. But it does look and operate like a console. Could it be for the people who just want to pay some money, plug in a box, and get to playing games in their living room TV? Yeah. In that case, it comes up against arguably its biggest obstacle, the actually ginormous PS5 Pro, which costs less and outputs a heck of a lot more in terms of gaming performance. Also, the PlayStation titles that are not going to be coming to PC, by the way, because since they've stopped doing that.
Mm.
Now, caveat to that is that, you can buy a PS5 Pro you're stuck to whatever gets released on the PS5. If you buy the Steam machine, you're stuck to whatever gets released on PC. So you'll miss out on those PlayStation exclusives if that's something that, which you would know going in, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. I would imagine you would already know this. I would imagine somebody that is about to spend $1,500 or $1,050 or whatever the price might be, whichever tier you get, would be well informed on here's my pros and cons. Mm-hmm. You know, I figured you would be on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of this again comes back to the price, something ultimately influenced quite brutally by the AI-driven component crisis that Valve has had no control over whatsoever, where they poke fun at Microsoft and say, like some other console manufacturers, and they're looking directly at Microsoft on that. Valve told us the original plan was for the Steam machine to cost significantly less. The implication was that it had jumped by a similar margin to that of the Steam Deck, which rose by roughly 43-46%. Late last month, and something of a warning to the machine curious, that would have put the 512 gigabyte edition in the, oh, these are British terms, sorry. So yeah, but significantly less. I'm just reading through more of this review. Performance wise, however, the Steam machine starts to lag behind a little in that. Disparity becomes even more stark when you start thinking about performance per penny spent. Comparing performance between consoles and PCs is frightfully difficult at the best of times, thanks to the variability in settings and the different methods used for upscaling and equivalent. So, won't go too far down that rabbit hole. Broadly speaking, the Steam machine performs slightly worse than the RTX 5050 build across most games tested. Speaking very loosely here, a rig running an RTX 5050 might get you roughly similar performance to a base PS5, sometimes better, sometimes worse, depending on the settings. And so a very, very loose back of cigarette packet deduction might be that you'll see similar-ish performance to a base console from a Steam machine. And this is where the viability starts to crumble, at least for this specific use case. A base PS5 with a disk drive. Man, I really should have converted these to whatever. Because they're talking about UK prices.
Yeah, £570. So, yeah. You can see the conversion there.
Look that up. With refurbished and secondhand options available at this late point in the console cycle for a fair bit below that. What'd you get it for, $570?
£1 is $1.32. So, yeah, close enough to it.
Oh, I thought you converted 570 to U.S. dollars.
Yeah, but pounds to dollars is £1 equals $1.32. So
okay,
a little higher than that.
Let's see, to U.S.
But high enough.
$650. Mm-hmm. So $650 is what that would have cost. Base PS5 with disk drive currently costs $650, which is what I just should have looked at anyway. And then they said the PS5 Pro... is still cheaper than the Steam machine and will consistently outperform it by a fair bit, especially if you want to play your games at 4K. On a cost-to-performance basis, the Steam machine is just nowhere near competitive. Similarly, on pure console-like usability, there are some inevitable snags that come in exchange for the freedom offered by the Steam machine. Many of the world's biggest console games are unplayable for a start, given that any game with anti-cheat software requiring kernel-level access is entirely off the table. That includes the likes of GTA Online, Apex Legends, Fortnite, PUBG, and more. Attempting to load these comes up with a warning that you'll either be unable to play them, or if you do manage to get into the game somehow, you'll probably find yourself swiftly banned for bypassing the software. I forgot about that because they're using SteamOS. This is a Linux-based console, not Windows.
Okay.
This is one of the reasons that I couldn't put Destiny on my Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I really wanted to. Again, I was going in spending a bunch of money, and I did my research and found out that putting Destiny on the Steam Deck is very difficult to do. So that part of my plan was off the table, which was fine. That was sort of a, you know, here's a list of cool things I can do with a Steam Deck. you know, at number three or four, I could try and put Destiny on it. Well, that was off the table. I couldn't do it. But the everything else was, you know, completely worth it. My eye is watering like hell right now. Sorry about that. Are we at a break? We are at a break. So, yeah, we need to get a break anyway. I'm going to try and get my eye to stop watering. So, having said that, we'll get back into that. But we've also got more to talk about as well with the GTA 6, the Xbox price increase, the Bungie job loss, other job losses, and then we got some of the miscellaneous stuff that we'll go over. Some of the better news, but not great anyway. So anyway, all of that is coming up here on Endgame Chat. I'm trying to fix my eye. we're still in October, oddly enough, from last year, going over all these games. So here is music from Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. This is the downtown theme. We'll be right back with more of Endgame Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chats. This is music from a game called Godbreakers. It's the main theme for that. And going back to Steam Machine, let's see. I'm going to hit a couple more articles here. Plenty of reviews to look at. I know that Digital Foundry did a thing on it. Those guys are really good with their tech reviews. I mean, pick any of those. Gamers Nexus did a review on it. Steve did a great job with that. And he's the one that I told you that showed you how to build your own, that is, spec wise close to it, but better, and cheaper than that as well. GameSpot did a roundup of, the internet has some thoughts on the Steam Machine's $1,000 price. I will die on the hill that Valve shouldn't be releasing the Steam Machine. This thing is already 6 years out of date, and yet it costs over $1,000 because of AI. It should have been delayed and upgraded or outright canceled. Those Steam Machine prices frying me. You generally should just build a PC. Steam Machine price at $1,050 really puts it in no man's land. The reason this second Steam Machine will fail is the same reason why Sega Nomad got mocked by the Game Boy. Because when it comes to selling consoles, better specs mean nothing compared to better pricing. The consumer doesn't care that a Steam Machine can run Elden Ring. They care about what the price is. What else do we have? I'm guessing the Steam Machine just gave us our first real preview of next-gen console pricing. Yeah, That's, like I said at the beginning, this is kind of opening the door to what we can expect with Project Helix with the PS6, right? Yeah. PS6.
PS6.
But worse.
Yeah.
But worse.
Hey, I mean, it's like your initial thought is to cherish that backlog, right? I mean, start going to that because...
Oh, God, it gets so much worse. I meant to mention that. So, yeah. So, right now, if you could imagine, and there's other ways that I could probably figure out to phrase this, just first thing coming to my mind. Mm-hmm. If you could imagine that there is... We've completely run out of we have no rubber at all in the world. It's gone. We've used it up. The tires that you're on need to last until something can be done where they can either make more or whatever. So the tires on your vehicle, that is it. You just gotta make sure that those things are secure because there is no other way we can replace them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That is currently what it is starting to look like with Microsoft's console. This is sort of a jump. What I had read about was that the SSD inside of a Microsoft Xbox Series X, maybe a Series S, I'm not sure about those, but I know in the Series X,
current consoles, whatever.
The current consoles,
yeah,
the SSD that is in those machines has some kind of connection to the motherboard of the machine itself. In other words, if the SSD fails, you can't replace it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take it into a shop and get it repaired. You can't send it back to you can't send it back to Microsoft. It is, for whatever reason, tied to that motherboard that's in the machine. So hope like hell that your SSD on your Xbox doesn't die because they raise prices on those. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So going back to like, here's what our consoles are going to look like type of thing. Here's the pricing on those consoles and what they're going to look like. I have to make sure that my Xbox doesn't die because I can't buy a new one. The price is going up. It's already out of my price range for getting another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about to go up even further outside of my price range because they're increasing the prices come August 1st.
Yeah. Third time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of where we're going to. I've got to hope that my Xbox doesn't die. I've got to hope that my PC currently doesn't die, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't have some massive malfunction
mm-hmm.
to where I have to build a new one because that's going to be a problem. So... You know, a lot of people currently sitting on, like, I hope the things that I have don't break, you know, can still go forever how long it takes until we can get back to something normal. And there's even word now that we will never get back to normal. I want to say it was Lenovo or somebody said something like they don't think RAM prices will ever get back to, yes, they may come down, but they don't think they'll ever get back down to.
They won't get back to affordable.
To what they were.
Yeah.
Before all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Kotaku ran a thing of kind of a rundown of all the different reviews. IGN called it the best living room PC I have ever used, despite it being a bit weaker than either of the base consoles. PC Gamer was much less enthusiastic. The first question you need to ask yourself as a hardware reviewer is this: would I buy one? And despite the little black box's lovely design, excellent controller, and sheer curiosity value, the answer is no. The devil is in the frame rates. If you want a gaming PC that can run games up to 60 frames per second with ray tracing turned on, the Steam Machine might not be for you. In fact, some reviewers were struggling to get 60 FPS in newer games, even on medium graphics settings with ray tracing turned off. The big pitch from Valve was that the device would run many Steam games at 60 FPS in 4K, thanks in part to frame generation, but some big games, like last month's First Light, 007 First Light, might struggle to match the consistency and fuss-free experience of a version optimized for consoles. At medium presets, IGN got Cyberpunk 2077 and Forza Horizon 6 to run at around 60 frames per second. Death Stranding 2 was hitting around 45, First Light was just under 60. That's not quite the same locked 60 FPS that the PS5 or Xbox Series X gets, but those consoles typically use dynamic resolution in games, which means the resolution will scale up or down in order to maintain a locked frame rate. Therein might lie one of the challenges of the Steam Machine. You're paying a PC price for hardware that can outperform consoles, but only when each game is tuned to it, and even then, not necessarily in a way that will blow those consoles out of the water. Steam Machine delivers what we'd call ballpark entry-level performance for a mainstream PC capable of running the latest titles at decent resolutions. That was from Digital Foundry that I told you to go check that out on YouTube. This means that while 1440p is a viable output resolution with upscaling depending on the title, settings management is key to getting a good experience. Linus Tech Tips was harsher. There is no path that I can trace that will lead to acceptable performance on this hardware, especially in light of Valve's unqualified claims of 4K 60fps, which still wouldn't be a huge problem if it wasn't for a big white elephant, the PlayStation 5. It's right there. Cheaper than what that is. Can't hit those goals. Mm-hmm. You're stuck to whatever the release is on Sony, but looking at that library, it ain't too bad. You know, even less so if you get the PlayStation Plus type stuff. That's, again, asking you to put in more money for it, but regardless. He says, on paper, the Steam Machine and the PS5 trade blows, but in real life, Valve, it just doesn't quite seem to work out that way. Then it goes through a bunch of different ones, The Verge, Gamers Nexus, PC Gamer, Eurogamer, all these different places that... Tom's Hardware says, you can also get many of the benefits of the Steam Machine on other devices. If you have an effective gaming PC or laptop, Steam Big Picture Mode will do most of the work there. Valve is also working to bring Steam OS to more machines, though currently it's only working on Radeon GPUs. But if you want something small for your living room that plays years of Steam titles and maybe even has a cute little wooden faceplate, the Steam Machine is for you. But you should go in understanding its limitations. So, look, I'm not saying that it is a bad product. If you don't have a PC, well, find somebody to build one for you. Because I wouldn't recommend this. If you don't have a PC, I wouldn't recommend getting this as your only PC. It doesn't necessarily kind of count in that regard. It is a machine that will play your video games. It is not necessarily a machine that I would say, hey, go look this up on the internet. I know you can do that on your phone or anything like that. But sometimes, I don't know, for me, I like to sit there in front of a browser, not on my phone. You're not gonna necessarily get that with this box. So I would say get somebody to build you a PC. It is entry level, but man, that price... We know you can build something equivalent or better for less.
Yeah.
Just go that route.
Yeah.
You know, again, given everything we know, if you're buying this, you're buying it for form factor. Seemingly. Like, if you did the research on it, you could see that there are better options, whether it be an actual console or you build your own machine or have somebody else build your own machine or buy a pre-built.
Yeah.
A pre-built's going to cost more than that Steam Machine, but you're going to get a lot more out of it probably as well. You're not going to get all the proprietary stuff that's in it. You're going to get a box that you can mess around in, you know. It'll also be a Windows-based PC, most likely, which means that you can run a lot of the games that you can't on the Steam Machine because of the fact that they have those and I'm not happy about them, but those anti-cheat things that get into your kernels and stuff like that. I don't like that stuff. But they exist, and they're hard to get around other than not playing those games. So anyway, that is our Steam Machine situation. Now, I'm going to hit some miscellaneous stuff here to get us to the top of the hour because we still have the Bungie situation, the Xbox situation, and the GTA. We're probably going to combine some of those in here. As for the miscellaneous stuff, do I want to hit Galactic Racer or do I want to hit PlayStation deleting the movies? You know what? Brian RTR in the chat room brought up the Sony deleting the stuff. So let's talk about that real quick. Sony is sending out notifications to PlayStation Store users who bought movies from their platform that were distributed by Studio Canal, and to say that you will no longer be able to access your previously purchased content from this studio, and it will be removed from your video library.
Yeah.
There's no mention of any refunds or make goods for the affected users. Sony simply says the films are going away due to our content licensing agreements. Once again, reaffirming the fact that you are never truly buying anything that's digital. You're just temporarily renting it.
Yep.
This news was brought to people's attention by a user on X who posted the notification they had received from PlayStation this week, along with any unapologetic news that the purchased movies would be deleted from their account on September the 1st. The message concluded with, "Click here for a full list of affected titles that will no longer be supported." The same warning is now reproduced in full on the PlayStation website, along with a list of 551 films and TV series that are being pulled from people's libraries. My God, if there was ever a bundle that was like, hey, it's the Studio Canal collection, and you bought all of those, it's gone. Gone. What's really peculiar about the PlayStation message is that it's entirely unapologetic, simply stating that, hey, your stuff's going to get deleted, as if that's perfectly normal. We've contacted Sony to ask if customers can expect a refund or some form of compensation, but of course they've heard nothing yet. Of course, when you scroll past the endless end-user license agreements, when you first use your PlayStation and click agree the first time you load the store, you're actually unwittingly agreeing that nothing you buy is really truly bought, and that it can be taken away from you at any point, and there's nothing you can do. That same end-user license agreement also exists for the games as well.
Yeah.
Which, hint, hint, will bring us to our next topic, the launch of GTA 6. We finally had, well, we knew we had a release date, but we had a pre-order date, which is already come and gone. We got a price. But more importantly, we got a format. And that format is entirely digital. No physical copy of Grand Theft Auto 6 will seemingly ever exist. And that has stirred a couple of pots. So we're going to get into that when we come back. But yeah, so again, what's the line from Fight Club? The things we own end up owning us. Yeah. Read some comments here. Lethal Migrant says, hardware on box said stay away too, talking about the Steam Machine. Brian says, the Steam Machine has 2 gigs more than VRAM, has 2 gigs more VRAM than my laptop. Otherwise, the specs are the same. Everyone's calling it a console except Valve. Lethal Migrant says, after I cashed in my rewards points, my Series X was only 175 when I got it launch day. You know, I haven't done much with my rewards points other than collecting them. I do it every single day. I go and I earn my points. I don't know how much I've got in there, but I've never spent them. I have designated whatever it is that I collect go to a local charity. Mm-hmm. I think it goes to the Otago Prattville Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
So they can buy the food for the dogs and stuff like that. So
your points won't expire. Well, will they?
They, as far as I know, they don't.
All right, I'm going to check on that.
Yeah. As far as I know, they don't. I think I'm in the 166,000 range or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think I've got 3,000 this month that are going to be going to, the Prattville Otago Humane Society.
Yeah. But we'll check on your points. You don't want to pull what happened with all those movies from Studio Canal, man. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah. AC Wraith says digital is fine, server based is not. If you can back it up, you're fine. Not that AI helps with new storage memory. Not sure what you were talking about there. Probably something we were in the middle of, and I just ran past it. So apologies on that one. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the GTA release. Like I said, we have GTA release, we have the Xbox price increase, which we kind of already touched on, but we'll touch on it again. Situation at Bungie, of course, more job losses, and then a few other little miscellaneous items to get into, but we'll get into those if we can later on. Music here from Dispatch, which came out last October. This track is called Shift Z, and we will be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat, music from Double Dragon. As I said in the voice of the opening of Double Dribble. But Double Dragon Revive is the name of the game. That's the main theme. It's just, you know, it's Double Dragon and Remake and that sort of stuff. So, there you go. Came out in October. Welcome back to the show. We are, let's see, where are we getting to the GTA stuff, right? Mm-hmm. GTA 6... We know the release date. It's in November, November 19th, something like that. Doesn't matter. The whole month of November is dedicated to GTA because nobody is releasing a single game. Well, no, there is one game. I think it's a Barbie game going up against GTA on the same release date. But
bold.
You know, you say that, but given what we've got, given the situation we've got right now, might not be so bold. I mean, obviously for them, whatever. No matter. Yeah. But you throw out that Ocarina of Time remake for the Switch 2 on that same day, physical copy. Yeah, you know, who knows? No, it's not going to beat GTA. Come on. It's GTA 6, for God's sakes. GTA 6, by the way, the only title I could see, while still, you know, upsetting a lot of people for the fact that they will not get a physical edition, is the only one that could get away with it. The only one who could say, we don't care what you think about it. This is how we're releasing it, and either you buy it or you don't. And they're the only ones that could kind of get away with that and not have a, have any kind of concern.
Mm.
They're like, at this point, we can release it however we want. We could release it, you know, in a box of cereal, and people will buy it. It does not matter. It is GTA 6. It is going to break records. It is going to do amazing things. People are going to buy it. Physical, digital. Even the people who are complaining, and I'm not saying everybody, but people who are complaining the fact that there is no physical edition will likely still buy it, even though it's digital. Just because. I remember that time we had that whole, everybody was protesting against, I say protesting, but they were angry about Call of Duty on for something. I can't remember what it was.
I think it was that limited edition one that came with everything but the game.
Maybe. But there was an entire, like, Steam group of people who said that we're not buying, you know, and then you got, somebody had a screenshot of everybody who was in that group, and there was the majority of them playing the game. Like, protest only works if you follow through.
Yeah. I mean, but then again, though, I think that was, like, one of the, like, four or five tiers of the game.
I can't remember.
Like that. But
yeah.
One of them had a bunch of stuff came with it, but there was no game involved in it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything about it, but I do remember it being where people said, we're not going to do this. And then lo and behold, they did it. So let's see. They just announced the pre-orders. We're going to, let's see, everything we've learned. How much will the game cost? GTA 6 will cost $80 for the standard edition. Again, a digital-only copy. That'll join Nintendo's Mario Kart World as the other big-ticket $80 game on the market. A price hike past the usual $70 price for a AAA game has felt inevitable for some time, but never quite materialized. Even Mario Kart World's price tag comes with the caveat that it's been bundled with the Switch 2 multiple times, so millions of players effectively got it for just $50. Microsoft tried to make $80 games a thing with The Outer Worlds 2, but quickly backtracked in the wake of fan backlash. GTA will not...
Not big enough to...
GTA will not. Stunt. They will not. It does. I don't care what the backlash is. They're not going to backtrack. They're like, we know you're going to buy this. You know? They have... You know, they are essentially just... They are essentially selling, you know... Drugs. That's what it is.
The hype is too big for them to not pull this thing. They know that. They know they can put whatever.
They could probably go even higher than that. They know
a significant amount of people are going to buy this game, enough to make, like you say, make records and things of that nature.
So, yeah. As everything in life and video games gets more expensive, GTA 6 might be the only game that can get away with a $79 or $80 price tag. It'll be interesting to see how publishers react and if companies like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, all of them are and more start experimenting with releasing their flagship titles at $80. Good luck. This is the only title I can see getting away with it. This is it. This is the only title I can see happening where it's that is how that it'll stay that way and that people will still buy it.
You know, I said the same thing about Street Fighter 4 when it came out. Because when it came out, it had the season pass that as seasons go. Mm-hmm. They added more characters to the game as time went by. And no one was doing that except them. But then later on down the line, other fighting titles did the same thing. You had season passes with more characters as time went by. But that was with a fighting game. But for GTA 6, this is a story game.
It's not only a story game, but it is... Yes, it is. It is a story game. It is an open world story game.
Yeah,
that has consistently broken records every single time they've released. Even when they, how many times did GTA 5 get released on different consoles?
Four or five times.
I know, yeah. and did perfectly fine.
And then the digital upgrade, the updated version, for current day consoles and PC.
They did absolutely fine with that. You know, never had a problem. But every time they've released Grand Theft Auto since 3, it has just, you know, Vice City broke records, San Andreas broke records. Is it San Andreas?
San Andreas, yeah.
Yeah. GTA 4, GTA 5, and now GTA 6, it's just done massively well.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what price they put this at, this thing was going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much complaining was going to happen, they don't even need to back down because people will still buy it. The Ultimate Edition will cost $100, which is what some observers had expected the base game about alone to cost. However, that Ultimate Edition will include an exclusive collection of premium vehicles, weapons, apparel, and action around every corner. This is the what's written on the box. Mm-hmm. What that means, or at least what I remember reading about, was that there's going to be certain stores in the game, stores that you can go into and use, but only if you have that Ultimate Edition.
I think the gist of it is there's stuff that's already in-game, but it's locked behind that $20 extra paywall. For the stuff that's already there, the stores and whatnot. I mean, yeah, like I said, stores, stuff like that.
Yeah. Anyone who pre-orders GTA 6 or buys it before November 20th will get the Vintage Vice City Pack. It is a bundle of cosmetics for the protagonists of the game that are remarkably old school and stylist. Stylish, I think, is what they meant there. You'll get the it's various clothing and hairstyle options, tropical weapon pattern. You'll also get a month of GTA Plus, which is Rockstar's subscription service for Grand Theft Auto Online in-game benefits.
Okay, I was about to say, because there was no online element for the for GTA 6, right?
But it's not yet.
Yeah, not yet, but okay.
Though still championing physical media will surely be disappointed by this news, GTA 6 will not be released on a disc. Instead, its physical edition will include a download code inside a box. The physical copy will be on store shelves a week early so that players who opt for the code-in-a-box version can start preloading on November 12th. It is not clear why GTA 6 won't be released on a disc. It's possible the game is just too massive for a reasonable disc release. PlayStation 5 discs can support up to 100 gigs of data, while Xbox Series X can only hold half of that. As games get bigger and bigger, 100 gigs might not be enough anymore. Games like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and Baldur's Gate 3 have shipped on multiple discs. Hypothetically, it could need over 200 gigs of data and three PS5 discs. And at that point, Rockstar could have decided a full-on digital release was easier. We'll know more about the file size once players can start preloading it. Yeah, we have no idea how big this game actually is. There is a possibility that pressing ever how many discs that they would have to press was something that for them was like, no, we'll make more money doing it this way.
I was about to say, someone crunched some numbers and figured out.
Now, I really don't like giving companies the benefit of the doubt. Companies who, you know, they don't care about. They're just like, here's what it's going to cost. We don't care if you can afford it or not, type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I normally don't want to run defense for a corporation type of thing, but the other aspect of it was, we're still working on this game, and in order for us to get to when it gone gold type of thing, when a game goes gold, that means that the disc is ready for pressing and multiple copies being made and going through that process.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's not there yet, and perhaps it wouldn't be there yet in enough time for them to produce physical copies, or at least enough to meet demand type of thing. There's that aspect of it as well, that hey, if we go digital only, we can work on this thing even further. We don't have to hit a deadline of what we would need to hit for this to be produced on the scale that we need it to be produced on physically. I'm throwing this out there, throwing out benefit of the doubt. I don't like to do that, but they have not said anything, which makes me think that that's probably not the case. Because, I mean, if you knew, then why not just go with that? Why not just be like, here's the legit reason we're not doing physical? But what that brings into play is that at some point your game will be ready and you can produce physical copies. And as we know, there is no plans to release physical copies of this game. It is absolutely digital only for here until ever how long, you know?
Don't expect it anytime soon.
GTA 6 will launch as a single-player game, according to its official game descriptions on PlayStation and Xbox official sites. After outlining the pre-order details, the description states Grand Theft Auto 6 is a single-player experience. This raises questions as to what will happen with Grand Theft Auto Online. It was developed alongside GTA 5, was released in October of 2013, shortly after GTA 5 launched. It's been going strong since and was released as a standalone download in 2021. Will we get a new GTA Online with the GTA 6? It's not clear at this time. It's possible that GTA Online continues as is and gets future updates with GTA 6-themed content. Rockstar could also release an entirely new GTA Online experience set in the world of GTA 6. For now, we're in a wait-and-see mode. We don't know. They released new screenshots as well, and then they said, we're going to get a PC version. For now, GTA 6 is only confirmed for PS5 and Xbox Series X. However, we've had all the other games released on PC, as far as I know. I say all the other ones. I think just 4, 5, and 6, or maybe just 5. Or I say 4, 5, and 6, maybe 4 and 5.
I'm trying to remember if the remakes were for San Andreas.
Oh,
and,
you mean
and,
the
and
City yeah?
Collection.
I think
was that
those,
on PC.
I think they did get a PC release, yeah. But I can't remember. I'm not sure. Rockstar traditionally launches GTA games on console first and ports it for Windows PC sometime later. GTA 5 didn't arrive on PC until a year and a half after it launched. And yes, it is November 19th for the release date of GTA 6. So that's kind of an overview of the whole thing. So GameSpot went back and said the internet has some things to say about GTA's price. This guy says, I've never been much of a Grand Theft Auto guy, but even I was considering buying GTA 6 based purely on the hype and spectacle. But $80 for a game I can't trade in or sell off, if it's not for me, that's not a commitment I'm willing to make. GTA 6 is $80. Grand Theft Auto 6 is $80. $100 for some digital BS if you want. You don't even get a disc. Take Two are cutting every corner and passing the savings on to no one.
Sounds like business.
Yeah. None of the GTA 6 info shocks me. $80 seems like what they have been indicating for years. Even if that game fits on a disc, I bet it doesn't. The decision on disc orders was probably made deep into tariff territory, and discs got printed in Mexico, and that was always going to be an issue. Let's see. Somebody says $1,000-plus consoles, speaking of the Steam machine, $80 games, digital codes instead of discs. If this is what defines the 10th generation of gaming, it is a bleak future. This guy says it's going to be hilarious seeing a bunch of games try to charge $80 because Mario Kart and GTA did it, failing to realize that they're not Mario Kart or GTA. I don't think Mario Kart could get away with it, honestly.
Someone is going to try it.
Of course.
Because like I said,
Microsoft tried it with Outer Worlds and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Too much backlash. Not saying that they wouldn't back down on it. I mean, if they had held their ground, I don't know what sales would have been, but if they had held their ground, what would have happened? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't, but anyway. This guy says, despite the name, the $100 Ultimate Edition is not really that. That is the base game. The $80 Standard Edition is, in fact, the base game with some things removed.
The Trial Edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're not included. The vehicle customization, quest lines. Yeah.
I said the $100 game felt like the actual Standard Edition, which was like rumored a while back. Did we not talk about how it was rumored to be going to be a first $100 game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about the price on that. We talked about, man, if it is $100, people still buy it.
Yeah,
they'll still be there to buy it.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Two game retailers are refusing to sell GTA 6 until there's a disc. Video Game Plus, a North American chain that has been around for over 30 years, confirmed in a statement on X that despite GTA 6 being one of the biggest launches in entertainment history, it will maintain its existing ban on selling games that don't have a hard copy. For nearly 40 years, VGP, Video Game Plus, has been committed to supporting physical media and preserving the value of physical game ownership. As part of that commitment, our company policy is that we do not carry physical products for video game consoles that contain only a digital download code. Based on the information currently available, the physical release of GTA 6 for the PlayStation is expected to be a code-in-box product. As a result, we will not be offering it for sale under our current company policy. Lootbox Gaming is apparently doing the same thing. They are also focused on physical media and said that they will not be selling GTA 6 if all it is a code in the box. Let's see. We also had something that Sony has this thing out where GTA 6 says it'll play best on PlayStation 5. I'm not exactly sure if that is... I think that's a marketing thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
But it very well could. We know how and this is not a comparison, but we know how Spider-Man 2 has no load times. The entire city of New York, and I say the entire city, the entire video game city of New York, is absolutely there with no load. You can go through the entire thing, no load times whatsoever, as far as going through the city, that sort of mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, consider how fast he can go in that game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. PS5 puts you in the center of the game world with the DualSense wireless controller reacting to your actions and bringing the sights, sounds, and sensations of the story into the palm of your hands. The controller's haptic feedback offers responsive vibrations, while its adaptive triggers provide dynamic resistance. The controller's integrated speaker also adds another dimension to key moments and interactions, with sound effects from the controller enhanced by haptic feedback. Listen, if that is your pitch, that it plays best on our machine because of our controller, that is a minimal hash mark of, like, feature. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it didn't... That doesn't do anything for me, really.
I understand that. I get that. And it doesn't necessarily for me. I will say that controller is an amazing controller. The PS5 controller on the games that utilize what it can do is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm never playing an Xbox game or a game on my PC thinking, boy, this would be better if these sounds were coming out of my controller or it was doing all this other stuff. I don't ever think about that, and it doesn't really bother me. But when when it occurs to me playing a PlayStation 5 game while it's happening, it's a neat little... Yeah. What am I trying to say?
It's a neat way that it was implemented in the game.
Gimmick.
I get that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice gimmick. Yeah.
I think the only time that the controller really mattered to me in-game was Until Dawn.
Oh, okay. What did that do?
There were certain scenes in that game where your character is being chased by the monster in it, and you had to. It was a section where you can't move, and that meant the controller could not move.
So well, that's right.
You had to hold still with that thing, and if you twisted or tilted any little way, you'd be caught, and your character would be killed. But other than that game, I can't. Probably the other Dark Pictures Anthology games has an impact.
Probably does
as well.
Some stuff with that as well.
But that's the only series I can think of where the controller mattered that much in my gaming.
Yeah. Astrobot has aspects to it. And just again, they're nice gimmicky things.
Mm-hmm.
It does not make or break the game for me.
No.
I will say that likely the way that the PlayStation 5 has that NVMe's and the way that it works, PlayStation is likely where I'm going to play GTA 6 with.
Mm-hmm.
I would if I could hold out for a PC copy, I would, but God knows when that's coming around. You know? Who knows when that's happening? Not much less
if
can my PC run it when it does at that point. Cuz who knows how far into the future that's going to happen, and who knows how behind the times my PC will be by then. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm about to say, goodness, if you have to upgrade your system just to play GTA 6, then you'll forget about it.
Man. There was... there's some more stories here before we break, and I'm trying to get to them. There was a rumor that said... Let's see. The same insider who claimed in February that Grand Theft Auto 6 wouldn't launch with a physical version, which turned out to be correct.
Spot on.
Yeah, has now claimed a proper physical edition with a disc will launch in December. That rumor has already been debunked by... I have it here in my news stories here. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 6 reportedly will not. There it is. On Thursday, an email from Rockstar support led to speculation that despite it launching as digital only with store copies containing a code in the box, a disc version would be just around the corner. Asking about retail copies, Rockstar email said that you'll be able to acquire a physical copy during the following months. Fans wondered if the digital only was just for the first printing and that following runs would change course. The Hollywood Reporter followed up on the rumor. According to their source, the email is real, but the interpretation is not. The physical copy refers to the already known code box with a code.
Mm-hmm.
While the following months refers to the months following pre-order announcements, not the actual November release. So, yeah, there is still no physical copy planned for GTA 6. There was also a report that IGN reported that, where is it at? Through IGN Finds and Commerce Affiliate Linking Program, the data is showing that PlayStation is outperforming Xbox by a rate of 8 to 1. For every one copy pre-ordered on Xbox, 8 copies are being pre-ordered on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox responded to that and said basically that this does not represent pre-order data. We've had record orders. People should wait for real data and not clicks on affiliate links. Xbox argues that while people may be clicking on affiliate links for PS5 GTA 6 pre-orders 8 times more often than for Xbox pre-orders, that doesn't reflect the actual pre-order ratio. They're clicking a link doesn't necessarily mean they're buying it. Just that's how many people are clicking that link. PlayStation, Xbox, and Take-Two Interactive have not shared pre-order sales data for GTA 6, so there's currently no public-facing way to validate either claim. The Xbox claim that there have been record orders for GTA 6 likely means that all parties involved, PlayStation and Xbox, are very happy with how the game is selling so far. We don't necessarily know the numbers. It's going to be huge, though. Hmm. And then the last little thing that we got about it as well was the fact that a games buyer for a major retailer speaking anonymously to the game business said, here's the quote, "We have been informed that because of the ongoing issues around hardware component availability, we won't be getting the units we want ahead of GTA. Demand will likely outstrip supply during the year-end period. There is a possibility, even with the prices that consoles are right now, that you won't be able to find a console around the time of November to buy along with the GTA 6. In other words, if you've been holding off, I don't know why you did, knowing with the way prices are going.
You were warned multiple times.
Well, for one, we've known GTA 6 was going to be released. We didn't know when, but we knew for a while that GTA 6 is coming. And you may have thought that it may get released on the next gen because, you know, early on we didn't know when this was going to happen. We also didn't know we were going to be stuck in this generation for as long as we've been stuck in it. But at some point you would have known that, look, GTA is getting released. I don't know when, but I'm going to need a PlayStation 5 or a Series X in order to play it. Might want to pick up one of those consoles. I'll wait because why? Console prices typically go down the longer you go into their lifespan. That has not been the case. They have gone up. And at the first instance of, hey, prices are going to increase, you should have hopped on it. At the second instant that prices were going to increase, you should have hopped on it. And now we have the third instance that prices are going to increase.
Yep.
So you better hop on it. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back, is the Xbox price increase. Here is music from a game called RV There Yet. It is one of those... You're driving an RV, but it's like you're with your friends and co-op and all this other stuff. Anyway, this is called Angel of Steel. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from Arcadian Days. It is the main theme of that game. Let me go back to the chat room real quick. AC Wraith says, digital purchases are still owned. Use a service like GOG where you can do it legally or do it anyway. Bama Brian, I know that you changed your name in the thing, but I just call you Bama Brian. He says, love Dispatch. AC Wraith says, I'm sick of physical media, people wanting to trash the planet more. Lethal Migraine says, gas is $3.25 at Sam's Club near me. It'll be under $3 shortly after the holiday, I would imagine. Hoping to move to Seattle in the next few months, gas would then be like $5.50. I will only play with offset sticks. Couldn't care less about the Sony gimmicks. Yeah. Another rep for the local QT here. Their sign outside says $3.25, but if you get their app and do all the like in-app payment type stuff to where it deducts directly from the way you've got that set up, it's 25 off a gallon, 25 cents off a gallon. So it's like $3. It's sitting right next to Sam's. But if you look at Sam's, Sam says $3.14. QT says $3.25. But if you have the app, it's actually $3. So it's still cheaper than Sam's. So again, I'm trying to help you guys out with money. I'm not trying to pitch a place that's giving me anything at all. Just letting you know, for gas, there's cheaper alternatives. So anyway.
Yeah, well, all I know is that, it's, like Lethal Migraine said, it's higher in the West.
Yeah, it is. Good. It is. It absolutely gracious. Is. All right. This is our last little segment. Hopefully we can get to everything. Xbox price increase for a third time. Every time we have to write that a console's price is increasing, it feels like this has got to be the last time, right? Well, no. Actually, Xbox has announced that it's increasing the price of the Xbox consoles for a third time, and is also sunsetting the 2-terabyte model. Effective August 1st, 2026, we will be updating prices worldwide. Here's the interesting thing. In the entire press release, they never tell you what the price is. They just say, we're going up by this much. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you what the final price makes it. So they're increasing by $100 for the 512-gigabyte models and $150 for the 1-terabyte model. And they're getting rid of the 2-terabyte. That should tell you something right there, that they're dropping the 2-terabyte models. Mm. Either, number one, they're not selling, or number two, it's too expensive for us to keep doing this. Mm. Xbox Series X 1-terabyte with a disk drive will now be $800. An Xbox Series X with a 1-terabyte all-digital version, $750. And if I would give you any advice, just pay the extra $50 to get a disk drive. Seriously, just get a disk drive. Let's see. Xbox Series S is a 512-gigabyte model. That'll be $500 now. That is the original cost of the Series X at launch, I think. 1 terabyte at launch, I think. With a disk drive, by the way. Xbox Series S 1-terabyte model will go for $600. So there's where it stands. They are increasing the prices. They cite the increase in prices for console storage and memory, which has increased 2.5 times since the last price increase that took place in October. And the company expects it to double once more in the fall of next year. Because of the price increase, Xbox is announcing a new buy now, pay later service that will allow people to buy Xbox system through its own stores and break up payments in interest-free installments. Amazon is also offering up to a 12-month financing with flexible monthly payments. The company also says it's working with retailers to sell pre-owned systems as well as certified refurbished systems on the Microsoft Store. This is the third time Xbox systems have increased in price since 2025, the first instance being in May of last year, with many speculating that the imposed tariffs were at the heart of the decision. The second time was in September of that same year, with Microsoft citing changes in the microeconomic environment for the move. This increase made the 2-terabyte model a whopping $800, but now that version doesn't exist. And now we also know why the prices are going up. Really has nothing to do with tariffs or the straight or whatever. It's all AI that Microsoft has invested in heavily. So, yeah. And the internet had some words to say about that. As well. And of course, it turns out that buying an Xbox Series X this time last year was a better investment than buying actual Microsoft stock because it's gone down. Video games were a short-lived entertainment medium popular from 1970 to 2025. Oh, boy. This generation of consoles has been a disaster. First, you couldn't get one, and now you can't afford one. I remember that. They were hard to get. In 2020, when they released, it was tough to get them. Mm-hmm. COVID and everything else going on. Prices didn't increase, but it was going...
Just availability, yeah.
Yeah, availability was tough. I remember when I got mine, too, man. It was that Thanksgiving year. Or it was over that Black Friday, Thanksgiving holiday. Mm-hmm. I stayed up real late. I don't know, 4-something in the morning. I can't remember what time it was. But things were supposed to go live at like midnight, and then things were going to go live at like 2 a.m. And it was around 2, 3:30, something like that, when I finally got my pre-orders in for the Series X and the PlayStation 5 at Best Buy. And I got those in on like a Saturday going into a Sunday, and was able to pick it up. I think I picked it up that Friday or Thursday. I don't remember. It was around Thanksgiving or so, when I picked up both systems. Because they were hard to get. And I remember at the time, I was like, man, I spent a bunch of money on this. But now I look at it, it's like, wow, I got a deal. I really do get that these price hikes are hard to avoid with the RAM crisis being what it is. But if you're going to keep raising your hardware prices, you need to find some way to raise the value proposition, too. And I don't think closing a bunch of studios that makes the games for it will work, which is the next thing. Oh, God.
Yeah.
There's a hilarious irony in one of the companies pushing AI, a leading cause of these shortages and price increases, into everyone's faces, and is now going, hey, would you like to buy a console from us? We'll finance it for you. You know? Here, the Series S now costs the same as the launch Series X, by the way. Remember, friends, this console is 6 years old. Six. And the prices have gone six. The console started at $500. It's now $800. Yeah, and it's just the internet complaining about it, which is fine. That's what the internet's good for, is complaining about things. But it's not like it's unjustified complaints. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like they're yelling at clouds here. The whole irony, like they said, is that Microsoft, who are investing heavily in AI, which is causing these problems, is now, you know, the ones raising the prices on their own product. Apple just increased their prices on a lot of their systems. They didn't mention the phones, but the phones are going to go up too. But they mentioned that their MacBooks, you know, a lot of their laptops, a lot of their other, almost everything else, their iPads and everything else, even the Apple TV box is going up in price.
Yeah.
And again, we need to say what we always say. If you think it's bad now, it'll look cheaper because it'll go up in price again. This is not the end of it. It will increase in price.
Yep.
So again, we say, and by the way, these prices on these new Xbox consoles doesn't take effect until August 1st. So you can still get them at the lower price.
You got time.
You do have time.
You got time. So,
but understand that the price is only going to go up. And if you get one after August the 1st, then you can sit comfortably the next time these prices increase again, and they will. And I don't necessarily know if they're going to go. I'll be interested to see how fast it goes up in between. You know what I'm saying? Like, how long in between? When's the next PlayStation price increase? That's coming too.
Yeah.
Nintendo, that's coming too. The increase in these console prices are going to happen, and they're coming up.
I mean, it falls that way, doesn't it? I mean, like, when one company does it, someone else they follow soon after.
They do it whenever their stock gets low on that, and they have to do it again. So they have to go back to the well and say, hey, we need some more. Oh, it's this much now? All right, raise the prices. We got to buy, you know. That's just how it works. Then we got the news that Bungie did what they were going to do, which is lay off a bunch of people. And I will not read the note that Bungie wrote because it's horrible. Says with great, we're announcing a reduction in force. As the leaders of Bungie, past and present, we recognize Destiny 2 fell short of expectations these past several years. Word I can't say on the air. It's your fault. Leaders of Bungie did this. Pete Parsons, you mishandled the whole thing. You botched it. And it's just an insult to injury that you would put that in your statement. But I get it. It's corpse speak. And now it's corpse speak, I guess, because you're three steps away from death, honestly. In fact, they were supposed to release a hotfix for Destiny 2 to fix something that was, I don't want to say broken, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, this is putting out too much damage. We need to pull that back.
Yeah, tweaking things.
They were going to tweak it. They delayed that because they laid off 292 people.
Some of which were working on the hotfix.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Oops.
Yeah, in the latest cut, at least 292 people were laid off. Most of the Destiny 2 team has been gutted. Their separation date is July 9th. Recent estimates put the studio's total headcount at around 800, down from a peak of 1,300 just a few years ago. That would suggest that Bungie is now down to around 500 or fewer staff. Oh, they're getting close to that indie studio, they like to call that. Just over a third of what it was back when Sony purchased it for $3.6 billion. Sony, you're not off the hook on this either. The layoffs hit developers across all different departments and disciplines. The entire cinematic org was included. Now former Bungie Cinematics director, John wrote on Blue Sky, let me know if you're looking to pick up a director and or other talented cinematic folks at any level. They're all out there looking for jobs. God. And I hope they can find them. This is not a good time to be looking for work. According to Bloomberg's Jason Schreier, and I'm sorry if I butchered his last name, Bungie studio head Justin Truman has also stepped down. He joined back in 2010 as an engineering lead on the original Destiny before eventually being promoted to general manager for Destiny 2. He took over the top job at Bungie last year when the CEO Pete Parsons departed after 23 years at the company. Pete's the devil. The latest mass layoffs come after Destiny 2 was officially sunset with its final update earlier this month. The studio is also working on incubating new projects. Yeah. God, it's all bad. There were other places that lost jobs as well. And EA laid off another wave of staff in the run-up to the sale to Saudi Arabia. By the way, that's still happening.
Yeah.
The studio behind Mio, Memories in Orbit, they released a game. The thing is very positive on Steam. I don't know, you know, how well it's sold, but not enough to keep the studio open. They are facing now financial struggles. There was another one where Quantic Dream, who was working on Star Wars Eclipse, said that that's in danger of cancellation because they are having to let go of people at Quantic Dream.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that aspect of it as well. So more job losses. Amid reports that Xbox is preparing for significant layoffs, a wave of staff at Compulsion Games, the Awesome Midnight guys, the Contrast guys,
mm-hmm.
We Happy Few, a lot of their Twitter accounts were like, hey, I'm going to be looking for a job soon. Like, they haven't been fired yet, but they know it's coming.
They know it's coming, yeah.
And so we'll have even more job losses to report on probably next week or within the next month easily. So having said all of that, the only thing I can leave on that was a bright bit of news in the 3 minutes I have left was the previews for Star Wars Galactic Racer. It doesn't sound great anymore. But I was happy to see with a lot of what I saw from that, not just the video, but in the reading reviews, GameSpot's title is Star Wars Galactic Racer is a Burnout game. You guys know how much I love Burnout. There are, Matt Webster is one of the guys, I met Matt Webster. I've got video of me and Matt Webster playing Need for Speed over at Criterion Studios up in Guilford. I have him as a friend on my PlayStation account. At least I did. I don't know if he's still there or not. But he is behind the studio. I think it's Fuse, who developed Star Wars Galactic Racer. It's got Burnout DNA all over it and looks really great, much more than Recreation or whatever they tried to do with Three Fields Entertainment. So that is my only good bit of news for me personally, is that, hey, come October, I got me a Burnout game wrapped in Star Wars clothing. Cosplay. Sure. Go with that. So, there we go. There we have it. That is it. Dave, I'm not sure about your question. That's a long text. I'll have to get to that later. I don't have time to read all of that, Dave. But I will get to, I'll respond to your text later, buddy. Because I know he's listening. You guys have a fantastic next 2 weeks. I know we're ending on bad notes all around, but man, such is the state of, I guess, the gaming industry and lately the world. Have a fantastic 2 weeks. Enjoy it. And we will see you back here in 2 weeks again. So just have a good one. Here is music from the Angry Video Game Nerd. He did an 8-bit game or something. This is called Graveyard or something. So anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks. RJ, have a great one, buddy.
You too, man.
See you guys later.